and welcome to Jenny's Tattle Tales. I'm Jenny Heckman. I'm a fantasy romance writer of the Heaven and Earth series. And this lovely lady to my right is Andrea Florescu. She is the marketing manager for Celtic Butterfly Publishing. And today we have fantasy romance author Helen Johannes, and she writes the series Crown of Tolum. And today we're spotlighting her book called The Lord of Drew Marwyn. You're doing a character interview today on the website. So this is a chance for us to get to know you. So welcome, Helen. So excited that you're here.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So you're doing your character interview on Lady Raelle. Why did you choose her to do your character interview on?
Well, she was kind of the driver of the book. And she's in a way, she's a tad more interesting in her vibrancy than my hero, who's pretty, has to suffer a lot. So she's more, she has more of an, a single-mindedness about her. So it was more interesting to do her backstory. And besides that, he was in my previous book. He was, he was introduced and he was a major character in the first book. Okay. But he didn't get his happily ever after completely delineated in that book. So I knew him better than I knew her. So in the sense of doing the interview, it was like to find out, you know, play with her a little more.
Sure. Yeah. And so you write fantasy romance, and I'm looking at your website, which is lovely, by the way, and it has kind of like a historical feel to it. Is this kind of set, your fantasy romances, are they kind of set more historically, or are they...
I prefer a medieval style location. So I actually have two kinds of fantasies. The one that's much more historical in nature and less fantastical, except for the setting, which is totally a world I created. And the other type, which has more actual magic in it.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Crown of Tolum is the more historical type in its own world.
Oh, cool. Okay. Very neat. Okay, so and I'm looking at this picture that's on your website. It looks like it's the ruins of a church.
It's actually the abbey in York, England. It's the ruined abbey.
Okay, it's gorgeous. I was over in Europe a little bit ago in Scotland, and I saw a lot of ruins, and I was wondering if it was one of those. So, but England has a lot of beautiful ruins as well.
Oh, they do. We've done several trips over in that area, so I've got photos, and I use that one. Oh, with a little enhancement.
Yeah, it's really cool. I really like your website.
Thank you.
What's the hardest, most unusual, or interesting part of this story's research? So when you were researching it, did you have an unusual, hard, any kind of challenges with any of that?
My research isn't as most people think of going around looking up in websites and finding things. My research has been kind of drawing on the experiences I've had throughout my life. And once upon a time, I was going to be a history major. Oh. I ended up being a German and English major. So double majored in my German stories and my German history and the English history and the English stories have laid the groundwork for a lot of the things that I put into my book. Plus, I'm a military brat. So I've actually lived in Germany and visited those ruins. And of course, since then, I've also traveled and to those places. So it's not so much I go out and hunt up something as I think about things and it comes out in my more or less fertile imagination.
Wonderful. And do you plot or pants then? It sounds like you might pants more than you plot.
I term what I do being an into the mist writer.
Oh.
So it's a pantser who has a plan.
Ah.
That doesn't mean the plan doesn't change. Generally, when I start, I need the characters. I need to have a general idea of where I'm going and what I want them to do. And I need to have a couple of chapters in my head. And after that, it's okay. Let's see where this takes me.
Oh, I like
and
that.
Usually there is a major surprise somewhere along the way that my brain put in the first part, but I didn't recognize until later and decided, I need to capitalize on that. So that's happened in all of my books. Something surprising has been laid in the beginning that later came to be very, very useful.
And you've written several books. How many have you written?
I have 4 published books.
Wonderful.
3 are adult fantasies and 1 is a children's fantasy.
Oh, I did see that. It's a little, is it frog? Yeah,
it's
little frog.
Yep. Yeah. Frederick Flycatcher, yes.
That's very cute. Nate, okay, here's a little bit more of a challenging one. So you know how you'll read a book and then they make it into a movie and you're always disappointed in the movie. So I'm going to do the reverse. What movie have you seen that has been better than the book? Do you have one?
Actually, I probably do, but my brain is freezing on it right now.
It's all cool.
actually, I think I have seen some that I've enjoyed more. The movie, it made it. I mean, I read all the Lord of the Rings books, but I think I enjoy watching the movies better because while Tolkien is fantastic and imaginative and amazing and his world creation, he's also very wordy.
And
you can go through his movies in a little less time and get the sense of what's going on in there. Although he did kind of blow Eowyn's final romance because the movies kind of blew that because they just, you know, I liked Eowyn.
Yeah.
But she didn't quite get the happily ending as just kind of hinted at in the movie.
Oh, okay. No, I think some of those epic sweeping novels, that can happen. I think you have so much illustration and scenic stuff that sometimes the actual language and storyline gets a little,
you know, that
missed.
Was my complaint about the Julia Quinn. You know, everybody's crazy about the Bridgerton series, which I think the series is better than the book. I read all of them, but one of the complaints I had about her books, I enjoyed the stories, but some of them, they're so wordy, and it took her 2 chapters to just go through one scene.
Yeah.
To me, that was too much.
Yeah.
I've read some of the other books in her Rokesby series and her Bridgerton, but I hadn't read the actual Bridgertons, but you're right. Bridgerton series on Netflix was fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're gonna complete this sentence.
No.
Your life would be absolutely complete if...
Well, right about now, if I got my COVID vaccine.
Oh, have you been stuck in the house?
Oh, yes, for a year.
Oh, gosh. Oh, wow. It's such a long time. I know. Hopefully, yeah. It's coming soon.
But yeah, I would really like to sell a few more books and be a little better known.
Yeah.
But and the ultimate satisfaction, though, is I like my life the way it is. I've got a husband I love and a family that I love, so I'm doing pretty good. So I really don't need a whole lot of things, but. Yeah, a few more books would be nice.
Yeah. Well, you said you're in Wisconsin. You said it's pretty cold there too. So
yeah. That
also
I
probably.
I wouldn't mind being able to go on a cruise again.
I know. We were supposed to be going to Italy last year, and when COVID hit, we were supposed to be going in June, and then we were scheduled for this year. But it doesn't sound like things are going to be opening up anytime soon.
No, and I've got on my bucket list. I'd like to do a river cruise in Europe, just to go back and see the things that I haven't seen for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
Those are really cool.
We have a friend that does the river, that just did a river cruise up there, and just had the best time. Said it's so personal and fun and friendly. And yeah. Mm-hmm. Hopefully soon.
Hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. How about, is there a message in your novels that you want readers to grasp in particular, Lord of Drumarin? Is there a message?
A message for all of my books is part of my tagline. It's Hearts in Search of Home. And all of my characters feel at some point that they're outsiders or they don't fit into their current status or culture or place. So they're looking for a family, but it's not the family necessarily that's made from blood. It's the family that they build around themselves.
Oh, I love that.
So they're all looking for that belonging, that sense of belonging to build out that new family.
Yeah. I think that's true for pretty much everyone on the planet, right? We're all trying to figure that out. So that's really cool. I like that.
And the other message that I usually put in there is don't judge a person by where they came from or what they might look like or what their culture says or is, or what you think about their culture and background, because chances are they're really not representative of that stereotype.
Yeah, And I think you're right. People will put limitations on somebody based off of whatever they think about it. And then they can blow that limitation all over the place. So yeah, you can't, that's a very true. We just watched a movie last night that had that hillbilly elegy. Yeah. Same exact thing that gentleman overcame an awful lot to get where he was at. So, I mean, it was a very interesting thing. I think that's very true.
The Crown of Ptolemy series is based on the idea that a kingdom was broken into three parts, and each part now has an image that is derogatory, so they don't get along. But they see each other, they're fighting each other, the Crown of Ptolemy is to bring it back together. So my hero in the first book is trying to bring it back together. My hero in the second book is helping him bring it back together. But in the meantime, they have to navigate the fact that this is the warlike group, this is the cheaters, and these are the people who don't want to take sides.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. So with your first book, those characters also carry over into your second book. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. And will they do that throughout your series?
I expect so, yeah. I've got plenty of material.
That's really cool. What are you working on right now?
Right now I have a potential novella in this series dealing with one of the characters from the first book. Okay. And it's also exploring the situations, but in one of the lands, but mostly focused on that one particular land rather than all three of them.
Okay. All right. And how many books are going to be in this series?
Honestly, I have no idea.
Yeah, you're just going to keep going until you're done.
Yep.
It will tell you eventually.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Okay, so when you are envisioning a character, how do you do that? Do you do storyboards? Do you just put them all in your mind? Do you write them out? When you're putting together your characters, how are you fleshing them out?
They talk to me. I don't do storyboards. I've seen, you know, character descriptions and all of that, but I just put them in action and then they do things.
Ah, perfect. Okay. So you just see it kind of in your mind and you can get them out onto the paper.
I have a sense of what they look like and how they might behave, but then they amazingly blow my mind as they go along.
I love it. Okay. I have one final question for you. What would you most like to say to your readers? It can be whatever you want.
I think that romance is truer than other types of fiction. It's about finding your heart, finding your place in the world, finding how to interact with people in a positive way. It's not just what, you know, people think of the romance as, you know, fiction. No, it's about actually finding a way to get along with people, finding your home, and being happy, finding a way to happiness.
Yeah, I think that's why it's the number one genre, right? I mean, you know, we'll give romance writers a lot of hard times, but really they do make the world go around, I think. You know, they're real stories.
And I did want to show you the covers if you would like to. This is this book, Lord of Tomorrow.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And here's the first book, Prince of Valfeyridge.
Oh, wonderful. And is that Lady Rael on that first cover?
Yes, this is Rael. And she's a very adventurous young woman.
She looks sassy.
Oh yeah, she's determined. a little out of her time because she's aggressive. This is my other fantasy, Bloodstone. It's a Beauty and the Beast.
Okay. Oh, that's cool. I like that. A take on Beauty and the Beast.
Yep. And this is the lovely Frederick Flycatcher. It's very thin. I wanted to prove I could write short.
I love that. That one looks pretty cute. Oh, well, I just really wanted to say thank you so much for joining us today. It's been such a pleasure to get to know you and see you. And it's kind of nice when you can have a 3D person to talk to
right
here. So thank you so much for coming on and joining us. Learn more about Helen, or actually learn more about Lady Rael, because you're doing a character interview today, run over to jennyheckman.com and onto the Jenny's Tattletales, and you can read all about Lady Rael. Or you can also go to Helen's website at helencjohannes.blogspot.com. So thank you again. I hope you have a great day. Stay warm out there in Wisconsin.
Oh, we will. We will. Thank you. And you too. Stay dry.
Yes. Thanks so much. All right. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Right, bye.
Okay. I think that's going to wrap it up for Jenny's Tattletales today. I hope you have an absolutely splendid day, and I want to really thank you for joining me, and I hope to hear from you and see you next time.